Genesis 32, from verse 13 to verse 21. Jacob is clearly out of his wits, terrified by the thought of facing Esau. He's on his way now, having departed from Laban, and bringing his family and his possessions, his flocks and herds. And he knows he has to face, at last, he has to face his brother, whom he has cheated and robbed and deceived and so on. Of course, Esau has undervalued, despised his birthright. But nevertheless, Jacob's past is caught up with him. In the previous discourse, dealing with chapter 32 from verse 9 to verse 12, we saw Jacob in prayer, really praying. He really was trusting God's word, promise, and command. But now we see the other side of Jacob. We read in verse 13 of chapter 32, Jacob spent the night there, and he divided his flocks and herds and families up into various groups, and he was specific about it. He sent these possessions, these flocks, herds, and his family over in small groups or smallish groups, instructing each group to say to Esau, verse 17, when my brother Esau meets you and asks, to whom do you belong and where are you going, and who owns all these animals in front of you, then you are to go and say, they belong to your servant Jacob. They are a gift sent to my lord Esau, and he is coming behind us. He's trying to appease Esau. And you say the same, he said to the next group, and then the next group, and so on. For he thought, I will pacify him with these gifts I am sending on ahead. Later when I see him, perhaps he will receive me, perhaps he will. So Jacob's gifts went on ahead of him, but he himself spent the night in the camp. This man trusts God. We see that in his prayers. But does he really trust? Now, I'm not just criticizing Jacob. I'm like it myself. I read, cast your burden on the Lord, and I do. We pray to him. I pray to him. I give my burdens to him, but I so very often pick those burdens up again when I have finished, and I walk away with them. This is sinful, and it's foolish, but I do it, and I confess it. Do you, brother? Do you? We cast our burden on the Lord, and then we take it back from him. Can't we cast our prayers and troubles, our burden on the Lord, and leave it there? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer and leave it there. Leave it there. But on the other hand, I do see that we have to use means and take precautions. And Oliver Cromwell's dictum, we trust in God and we keep our powder dry. So there's good and there's bad here. I see myself here. I see my lack of faith. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And yet I know we must use means. We must do what we can. He resorts to God and he uses means. I see that in Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. I see these principles. But I do see a lack of faith here. Look at verse 20. Be sure to say, your servant Jacob is coming behind us. For he thought, I will pacify Esau with these gifts I'm sending on ahead. Later, when I see him, perhaps, he still doesn't know, perhaps it may be that he will receive me, he'll be kind to me, but of course he may slaughter me, and of course if he starts slaughtering the first lot, then I will know. But what can he do? He can't run away. He can't go back to Laban. He can't keep running forever. His past is caught up with him. And he has to face it. But I think it's very significant. The passage ends with this. Jacob himself spent the night in the camp. And I think at this stage I can say this. It's not only night in the camp, it's night in his soul. Like when he was at Bethel, his head was on a cold, hard stone. I think his heart was cold and hard too, those many years ago. I think it's night in the soul now for him. Brother, sister, are you passing through a night experience? A lonely experience? He's lonely too. He's on his own. Alone. But of course it's not the end of the story. Jacob comes. No, God comes to Jacob. But that's the next discourse. But it's not the end of the story. He has prayed, but he still doubts. He does believe, but he still has unbelief. He's trusting in God, but not quite. Oh, I encourage you, brother. I'm not reproving you. And you, sister. I'm speaking to myself. I am foolish. That's the way I look at it. As well as sinful. But I don't leave it with God. Of course I have to use means. And of course I'm not sure. At least he's not cocky. He's not overconfident. Oh, I know. The Lord has said to me. Have you noticed, by the way, that when people talk like that, it's usually outside of Scripture that the Lord has spoken. The Lord has said to me. Yeah. And it's usually something separate from Scripture. These are warnings to us, brother and sister. They are challenges to us. Let us be more believing, more trusting, more confident in God. But we do pass through the night of the soul. And so do you, unbeliever. Oh, yes. There is a loneliness in unbelief. There's a coldness in it. You may not feel it, but one day you will. Jacob's past caught up with him. Yours will with you. You will have to face your past. God will make sure of it. I know it. The Bible tells me. Oh, yes, the Bible tells you too. I warn you. And I plead with you to sort it out now. Stop running away from the past. God sometimes brings men. Let's hope he brings you and women, unbeliever, into the place where it's night in the soul for you, lonely. You're on your own. But it's not the end of the story. Read on and see what happens in the next passage. Genesis 32 from verse 22 on. I hope in the next discourse to address this very point. Because it's at the night and the low and the dark and the cold and the lonely place that God comes and meets with Jacob. And he learns that it's not Esau that he has to worry about. It's God. It's not Esau that he has to be concerned with. It's God. And in the days of the New Covenant, I can tell you this, that God has come into the world in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus. And he sent him into this world for one great, enormous purpose. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. It's worthy of your acceptation, friend. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And my friend, it can be true for you. Even in this night of your soul, you can find the light of Jesus Christ. You can find in the coldness and the loneliness of this present experience, you can find the joy and the pleasure of peace with God. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in his precious blood and his perfections of righteousness, and casting yourself upon the Lord Jesus, knowing that the night of your soul is gone away, and you are at peace with God. Jacob was all alone, cold, in the night, and the night was in him, but God was about to break into his life. May this feeble discourse of mine be used to bring you into the light of the gospel and to the everlasting joy that there is in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.